The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Welcome, friends. This is John Russell, your host, and this is our tribute to Jeff Niles. And I welcome you here to this. Jeff was a wonderful friend to all of us. He was an amazing voice artist. He was an amazing performer. He was terrific behind the scenes as well as in front of the mic. And he was a great friend, a wonderful friend to have. And I already miss him. I'll continue to do so, and I'm sure so will all of you listening, because if you're listening, you probably knew Jeff, or at least knew his work, heard his work, and enjoyed it. And hopefully you'll continue to enjoy it, because even though Jeff has departed this world, his work still exists and shall go on. And there's still some yet to be heard, and you'll get to hear it. So, Jeff, even after death, he's not finished yet. He had a few more performances of Doctor Who that we haven't released yet. You'll get to hear him as Zimtron and Dr. Philbot again yet for upcoming productions that were in the works before his untimely demise. But here today we are gathered to celebrate his life as well as his work and to remember his work and the friend that we've lost. A few of us have decided to speak about Jeff and pay tribute to him. So you will be hearing from various people who knew him in one form or another, some who worked with him, some who knew him more personally, and myself, of course, who knew him personally and worked with him. And I will also be providing some clips of some of Jeff's more memorable characters and moments. We don't have time for everything that would involve, because I could make a show, a 10-hour show out of his best moments. But we have selected a few, and they will be interlaced within this tribute podcast. I will be joined later by Vince Staden, who is a brilliant writer and who helped me to create a lot of the most memorable moments and characters from Robots of the Company, who wrote and created the comedy series The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes, which started at DRE and then went off to the 407th / All Better Audio. Jeff continued to play that character for a number of years, and brilliantly too, I might add. And it was a wonderfully written series. Vince has a few things to say about Jeff and about their time working together. So he will be joining us towards the end of this program to talk about Jeff. And within his segment, we will also be playing a number of Jeff's best moments from various productions, including The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes. And I thank Vince for providing a couple of clips to be included in this. We'll be talking to a number of other people, and I will introduce them as we go. But I wanted to sort of kick this off and give you some of my thoughts and tell you that it's been a pleasure to work with Jeff, and it's been a pleasure and an honor to know Jeff personally. We didn't get to interact much face-to-face. I only met him the one time. But it was a wonderful time. And I just simply miss the guy. I miss his positivity. I miss his advice. I miss his input on the work that we do here at DRE. I can't even measure how much he has meant to DRE and to me personally. I can't even begin to tell you or to give justice to the man and his talent and his contribution and his friendship. I can't even begin to express how amazing it was to have his friendship. He was, you know, he was my mentor, and he was at times my production partner, and he, of course, did a lot of the editing for Dream Realm. He did a lot of work behind the scenes, as well as, you know, in front of the mic, too, playing amazing characters like Zimtron from Robots of the Company, as well as Dr. Philbot and Derek from that show. He played our second Doctor in our fan-produced Doctor Who series. He played in a number of different shows. He was in Magic Monsters of Mayhem as Waldo, and I mean, the list just goes on and on. He played so many wonderful characters, and I know we're all going to miss his voice, and his presence will be felt, and the lack of his presence will be felt. But yeah, he'll be here to cheer us on. I know it in spirit, but we will certainly feel the loss of Jeff in these productions from this point on, because he had a hand in so many great things that we did. So it is daunting, to say the least, to continue without Jeff. I don't want this just to be sad, though. I want to celebrate Jeff's life and his work. So I do want to play a few clips in here in this tribute as well, from some of the best of what he has contributed over the years. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it'll give people a smile and even a laugh. And that's what Jeff would want. He wouldn't want people sitting around crying and being all depressed about things. He would want people to laugh at the jokes and enjoy the performance that he gave. And he certainly wouldn't want me to stop doing what we do, what we've been doing. Jeff always said the show must go on. That was kind of his mandate. And he, you know, he's very much an old school entertainer. And that old school philosophy was the show must go on. No matter what happens, the show must go on. And he wouldn't want us to stop or for things to be halted in any way because of him. He just wouldn't have it. And it's been difficult. And yes, things have kind of halted because of the loss of Jeff. And I'm sure he's somewhere watching going, come on, just get on with it, boy. Get on with it. You know, come on, dude, get on with it, you know. Make it happen. He wouldn't want me to stop. So I'm not going to stop. It might take a little longer to get to where we want to go, but no, I'm not going to stop, Jeff. I can hear your voice in my head, and I'm not going to stop. So right now, just to give you a break and to give me a break, I think I'm going to play a clip, something that Jeff has done that made us all smile, and hopefully will make us all smile again. So I don't know what this clip is yet. I haven't decided what clips to throw in here, but here is one. It's one of his classic moments.
And soon the others are told of the tragic death of their comrade. The remaining adventurers gather around their fallen friend to discuss the future.
Ridiculous fool! I knew he'd be the first of us to die.
Hey, that's not a very kind thing to say. That's your friend lying there dead.
I wouldn't go so far as to call him a friend, but stop it. I'll miss you, old Rawhide. What? Don't look at me like that, you lot. I always was an old softy.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that clip. This is very hard. This is extremely hard. We did this for Victor Aurelius, some months ago, and it was also hard, but I think this is a little harder, and the reason is that I was so much closer to Jeff, and I knew him for so many more years longer. There's a lot of starting and stopping here, and some of it's technical because there's background noise, and some of it is because it's just so emotional. So this might be a little choppy, and I may just leave it as a little choppy because it's honest. And that's what Jeff would want, is honesty. This is tough, and it's tougher with Jeff because I knew him a lot longer. I knew him a lot better. We were very close friends, and we were very close colleagues. And again, everything that we did at DRE, or at least most of it, Jeff was directly involved with. If he wasn't in front of the mic voicing a wonderful character and making it even better by being, well, just Jeff, he was behind the scenes, doing editing and so forth. So it's just difficult. I don't know that I can give the man complete justice in the words that I can give to you. I don't know if I can do him justice. I don't know if I can really convey in any kind of words what he meant to me and what he has meant to so many people and what he has meant to the audio drama world and what he has meant to the shows that he was a part of. He brought so much to the table. Playing a character like Zimtron, who is so against type as far as Jeff is concerned. Zimtron is probably the polar opposite of Jeff, because Zimtron is selfish. He's outspoken. He's entitled. He blames everybody else for anything that goes on. He wants to complain about everything that goes on. He's lazy. He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to do anything but sit around the bar and drink. Yes, they're robots, but they do drink alcohol. So it's the absurdity of the situation that Jeff loved, and the absurdity of those characters, and the absurdity of that show. That's what Jeff loved. And he would tell me, I would write a script, and if it went particularly well, he would tell me, that's funny. That is just funny. He relished playing these characters, especially characters like Zimtron and Dr. Philbot and Derek. And they were all such polar opposites of Jeff, because Jeff was this gentle, soft-spoken, at least to me, when we spoke, he really was so reserved in the way he spoke. And then the things that he would tell me and the advice that he would give, it was never from a standpoint of, I know more than you, so listen to me. It was never like that. And it was never egotistical. It was always sort of reserve and, here's what I think. What do you think? That kind of thing. It was always so positive.
even, like I said before, if he didn't like something, he would still be positive about it, and he would never come out and say, that just sucks, or that's horrible. I don't remember ever hearing that kind of thing come from Jeff. It was always, well, that's pretty good, but, you know, can we, you know, maybe we should try something different, or can we do something different? So it was never coming from that selfish, egotistical side of things that some people might bring to the table as performers. He was never like that. So I can't, you know, apart from these things, I can't really give you the full picture, and I can't do the man true justice. And that was my greatest fear in doing this, is that I couldn't give him true justice. I couldn't do him true justice. I couldn't express enough what kind of person that he was and what he meant and how important he was to the whole process and to me personally. It's difficult to say. We only met face-to-face once. That was back in 2016, around October. And that was on a trip that my wife and I were taking to see her family. And we took a train, and the train happened to stop in Chicago, where Jeff lived. And we got to actually have enough time for Jeff to take us to lunch and spend time with Jeff and a good friend, Maria Mazur. And we got to have lunch and talk and finally meet face to face. And it was magical. It was wonderful. It was so exciting. And it was wonderful to meet Jeff face to face. And that was the first time, and that was the only time, even though we'd wanted to do it for years. And we certainly wanted to do it again. And we had planned to get to see each other again, possibly this year. But it was not to be. But it was wonderful to get to meet him the one time. I'm blessed to have been able to meet him face to face. I'm blessed to have been able to work with him all these years over the internet, you know, from a distance. We may have worked from a distance, but we worked very closely together. We worked closely together. We worked well together. We worked a lot together. We did a lot of work. We worked on a lot of projects.
Tell me, Billy, were you married?
Nah, man. As if. Wait, where?
Did you have any family?
Did? I have a mom, man. Have. In the here and now.
No. In the past. Here and now no longer exists for you. How old were you, Billy Hopper?
I'm 22, man.
Oh, fairly innocent. Young enough to avoid the dark.
What? What the hell are you talking about, dude?
Unless you've done something regrettable in your life, that is.
Look, I ain't done nothing. I still live at home with my mom. I've dated a few girls, sure. Slept with a couple of them, okay. But I don't do drugs or anything like that. Never even got a speeding ticket.
Oh, good. Then no one is coming for you.
I wish you'd talk sense, man.
Here is some sense. You were in a terrible car accident just then. You died, Billy Hopper. It's sad because you had barely any time to live. Not even enough time to commit the sins that would condemn you. Or to do anything good to even save you. Which means nothing.
Nothing? What are you talking about?
It means that nothing will happen to you. It means you will simply walk the earth alone. Some have called it purgatory.
Are you trying to preach to me or something? Aw, man. This must be some kind of crazy bad dream.
It's no dream. From now on, this is your reality. Or, to be more precise, you exist outside of reality. You simply died and your spirit has been set free to roam on the astral plane of this world.
What? Oh man, you're freaking me out. You must be tripping.
I shall be taking a trip shortly, yes. And I considered taking you with me, but since you've lived a relatively clean life and are quite young, there's not much I can do for you. And luckily, the bad man won't be coming for you either.
Bad man? I don't know what you've been smoking, old-timer, but I may need some of that if any of this stuff you're saying is true.
Oh, it's perfectly true, Billy. I'm sorry. You've died.
I really need to wrap up what I'm saying so that other people can say their piece about Jeff, because there are a few people who wanted to say some things about Jeff for this tribute. So I will bow to them and let them start talking, and I'll introduce them one by one as we go. But I just hope everyone can understand what a loss this is. I hope everyone can understand what a wonderful contribution Jeff made to the audio drama world and the entertainment world. And I hope people know what a special guy he was, just a special person. He was a good guy and a good person, and again, he was always positive, and that's the mark he has left in this world, that positivity, that talent, that brilliance. He was a creative genius in his own way. I'll never forget him. He's touched my life in such a way, in more ways than I even knew. You know, the loss of him has shown me how much he really has touched my life and how different my life is going to be without him, how different my work is going to be without him. But again, as Jeff would say, the show must go on, and the shows will go on. And I dedicate all of our shows going forward to you, Jeff. Thank you for what you gave us. Thank you for what you left us with. We won't forget. We'll always listen and enjoy, because we do have a wealth of material that you left us to listen to and enjoy, and more to come, because not everything's been released yet. So at least we have more to look forward to. And that's how Jeff would want it. More to look forward to.
Quick, Julia! Over here!
It's a small animal of some kind.
The poor little thing has been utterly ripped apart.
We're just following a blood trail. What are we up against? What sort of creature could rip through flesh and bone like paper?
I can't be sure, but whatever it is, it's close.
That thing is practically on top of us. What do we do now, Doctor?
Okay, and now to speak about Jeff is Kyle Bors, who you may know better as Briscoe from Robots of the Company.
Well, what can I say about Jeff? Jeff was amazing. I got to know him through DRE first, and then over the years I got to see him pretty much every year at the Chicago TARDIS convention, where he sat there at the dealer's room gate checking people's badges and just being his normal, friendly, wonderful, boisterous self. He meant a lot to me, as he did to all of us. And he just was, you know, an original person, you know. I loved working with him. He did so much. He always had a kind word to say. He always was very appreciative and complimentary and just nice. He was just so nice. I'll never forget the first time that I met him at Chicago TARDIS after we were doing Robots the Company. And it's one thing to, you know, kind of know who you're going to meet, but then you're going to meet him and he greets you in Zimtron's voice. Briscoe, my boy! You know, real big and loud in front of, you know, everybody there. is wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful guy. I miss him a lot.
Help me. Help me. Can anybody hear me? I'm stuck underneath some heavy object.
Oh, for goodness sake. Won't someone help Popsicle out of his predicament?
I'm zippity-doo. What seems to be the problem, Zimtron?
There was an explosion, and my goodness, it was loud. I think we're all dead.
We're not dead. But somebody's gonna be if you guys don't help me.
I can't budge it. I'm just not that strong.
Oh, great. I'm gonna be stuck here forever. You know what? From now on, everybody gets burnt toast.
Oh, my head. What happened? Did we get canceled or something?
They tried, but seems we're back by popular demand. But I think we've lost some crew members to recasting.
And now here's Rachel Pulliam, who has been in a number of Dream Realm Enterprises productions. I think most recently in Magic Monsters and Mayhem as the sister of Rosa Dernhelm, Selena Dernhelm. Rachel Pulliam.
There are three words that come to mind when I remember Jeff Niles. Generous, compassionate, and creative. A week prior to his passing, I reached out to him because I was struggling with an accent for an audition. He said, "Record something and I'll have a listen. Dialects are one of my specialties." So I did. And he proceeded to give me some pointers. I got the role because of Jeff. Like many of you, I didn't know he was ill. But he was compassionate till the end. I believe he didn't want to worry or upset me, especially after the recent loss of our mutual friend Victor Aurelius. It's hard for me to think of Jeff without thinking of Victor. Together, they were such a collaborative, creative team. Many of my own productions didn't include Jeff without including Victor and vice versa. But my favorite experience working with Jeff was when the two of us were in Doctor Who together. I played Amara, the Doctor's companion, and he portrayed a newly regenerated Doctor. I really enjoyed getting the opportunity to act alongside him. Jeff, I miss your talent, your caring nature, and giving spirit. I feel lucky for having the chance to know you and learn from you, and I can't help but think that you have met your dear friend Victor at last. I keep you in my heart and carry on with the audio work in your memory.
Wait, Amara! Don't do it!
Doctor? But you don't look like the Doctor.
Oh, it's me. I've regenerated. I told you about regeneration. Look, there's no time to explain, Amara. Just please wait there a moment. Don't do anything.
But what are you doing here?
You mustn't listen to her, Amara. If I'm right, by doing what she suggests, you will be committing suicide for this whole world.
Stay out of this, Time Lord.
What's happening, Doctor?
You may just regret joining me after all, Jim.
Do it, child. Fulfill your destiny by placing the medallion into its rightful place.
Doctor?
Don't listen to her, Amara. She's trying to lead you into her trap. It's a web of deceit, my dear.
Ellie Hirschman was unable to record anything, but he did want me to read out some of his thoughts, which were that he really admired Jeff. He enjoyed working with him as Dr. Watson, opposite Jeff's Sherlock Holmes, and that he will miss that working relationship. He really, really admired Jeff as a person and as a voice actor. And now, another friend.
Hi, this is Carrie Michael Ayers. Wow, what can I say about Jeff that hasn't been said already? I know him through work that we've done, basically. I haven't met him directly, nor have I. We had chatted a few times over another friend of ours who was having problems and difficulties, too. But his contact and mine was very limited because we just knew each other because of the work we were doing kind of next to each other. We were doing a lot of recording for different shows on different outfits, and so you would say, oh, hey, you know, there's Jeff on that one again too. And so I was used to hearing his voice and his name mentioned all the time. One thing they said, what can you say? One thing about Jeff is that he's just exceptional, the amount of stuff he's done, just a huge amount of voice work in the area. Some of us here try to be noticed by changing how we sound every time, making it a different voice and stuff like that. Guilty. But Jeff let the words of the text and his own inflection do the heavy lifting. I mean, it was a voice you recognize, but would completely fit the role no matter what it was. And so that comfortableness to him and the way he just fit into it and slid into it and changed his sound of his personality, but not the sound of his voice. He was great at it. He was wonderful at it. I wish I'd known him better. I'm saddened by the loss of the opportunity because of him leaving us so soon. Anyway, thank you very much. And Jeff, happy sailings from all of us here. We miss you, man.
They're all going to get the rope if we could bring them in alive.
Bring them in alive? You thinking they'll surrender?
Don't sound like they're waving a white flag.
Jesus, the sky.
What?
She is with the spirits now.
What's he saying?
His daughter.
Spirits will protect us.
We're glad to hear it, Dr. Dog. We need all the help we could get.
You see, that got us the wrong dog. My brother shot the wrong dog.
He ain't stupid enough to do it twice.
You hear that, you filthy injun?
Dr. Dog, you're the next dog to die.
We have to end this now.
Right. On your count.
Ain't never been no good with numbers. Just start shooting when I start shooting. Take the rifleman first.
That's what I figured.
Hudson, you and your brothers got one chance. Give yourselves up or you're gonna die right here, right now.
Real funny, Sheriff. How about this? Me and my boys kill you and your deputy first. Then we take care of that old redskin. Real slow.
And now here is David Ault, who you know from many, many roles in Robots of the Company and various DRE productions. Speaking about Jeff.
I was shocked to learn of the passing of Jeff Niles. He was a lovely man. I met him in July of 2010 as I was traveling across North America, and we shared a deep dish Chicago pizza and a conversation in a pizza restaurant somewhere in that city. And it was just... he was such a friendly, welcoming, and lovely man. And the one question I remember him asking was, is my British accent okay? Because, of course, he played Sherlock Holmes in The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes. And I said, yes, Jeff, it's absolutely fine. It sounds fantastic. Apart from the word revolver. It was very strange. He always pronounced it revolver, not revolver. But good times. We'll miss you, Jeff.
And now, to speak about Jeff, here's someone who knew him on a very personal level. My dear friend, Maria Mazur.
I had a blog talk show with Rocky Cartledge, and that's how I met Jeff a little over 7 years ago. Our Haunted Path live show had gone on hiatus right before I was going to interview Victor Aurelius again. I explained to Vic about the hiatus thing and suggested that he interview Rocky on his blog talk show, Whispers in the Dark. It was set up and I was listening in during the show. During the show, someone mentioned Chicago and Vic said that Jeff was from Chicago and Rocky said I was. I private messaged Jeff during the show. And Jeff was actually Vic's co-host for the show. But he rarely said anything in it. He really didn't have a chance to with Vic talking his head off. Anyway, well, it turned out that Jeff grew up in the same neighborhood that I was born and raised in and still living here. We chatted for a bit, then chatted through Facebook, then decided to meet the following week face-to-face. That was it. It was friendship and love at first sight. We had so much in common. Even though he and I mean, even though I was and I'm not an actor of any sort, he became my best friend and I loved him so much. He was my support, my encouragement, my cheerleader. We spoke every day after that. I mean, every single day. And met up several times a month for anything from drum circles to having breakfast or lunch or going to the movies. And once he got his chair, we actually went to the zoo, which is a story in itself. We went to the Renaissance Fair. We went to the museum. But he introduced me to his voice work, his drum circles, the TARDIS conventions, Doctor Who, and so much more. We fell into each other's hearts, and I miss him so much. He was a huge part of my life personally. I loved and still love him with all my heart and soul. He loved working on different projects, big or small, and being with people all he was in contact with. Rest in peace, my love. We will all see you again one day.
And now we welcome our very special guest today, a very creative writer and producer, Vince Staden.
One of the first things I think of when I remember Jeff is fast and slow, in that his delivery as Sherlock Holmes, putting on a rather good English accent, was very slow. So he would take time to enunciate every word. Sometimes syllables would last for 30 seconds, which meant I would have to write speeches that were punctuated by fast responses from other characters. Otherwise, Holmes would still be explaining how he solved mysteries even now. But one of the good things was it made the writing so much crisper, because instead of having really long monologues, there were back and forths. So sometimes the explanations had to come while they were running away from explosions or delivering a baby or something like that. But he was also very fast in delivering the lines. So I'd send him a script on Friday, Saturday morning, in my email, there it would be. Perfectly done, needing no retakes, absolutely spot on. He would have recorded it and edited it to his own satisfaction within hours. And, you know, we're talking pages and pages of dialogue. Quite extraordinary. Once, though, he recorded a character in entirely the wrong accent. I'd written, at his request, because he was a big Edgar Allan Poe fan, an adaptation of The Pit and the Pendulum, and I'd folded in the Spanish Inquisition and got him to play Torquemada. And because all the other characters in the play are French, it somehow escaped his notice that he was supposed to play a Spaniard. And instead he recorded the whole thing in a outrageous French accent. I pointed this out to him. Within hours, I had the Spanish equivalent back in my email with a little French apology tagged on at the end for good measure.
Wow, that was an amazing suggestion you made there, Zimtron. Run from the natives. That really did the trick.
Why, thank you, Captain Putch. I thought it was rather inspired myself.
Oh, sure. You led us all the way, Zimmy. I gotta hand it to you. And it's amazing how we managed to lose the angry mob like that.
A nice bit of rescuing.
I have my moments.
He sure does. Good job, Zimtron.
Thank you, Prisco, my boy.
Yes, yes, you did a great job, Zimtron. Now, maybe you could explain to me exactly how you plan to get us out of this one. I mean, I'm sure we're safe from the deadly spears of the primitives back there at the village, but now we're hanging by our very fingertips over this cliff top. Just how are you going to get us out of this one and save us from certain doom?
Well, I must admit, it's a tricky one.
Oh, very tricky.
Tricky. Right. Any suggestions would be welcomed.
Well, we could pray to the almighty Prisco for guidance and wisdom. Prisco?
Don't have any. Sorry.
Oh.
Jeff was so good, he could play multiple characters and you wouldn't know it was him. In fact, famously, he wanted to play Moriarty. And I'd written a two-hander with Holmes facing off against Moriarty in a sort of homage to Michael Mann's thriller Heat with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino opposite each other at a coffee table. So I'd written this scene, which was basically using all the dialogue from Heat, but giving it to Holmes and Moriarty. And Jeff said, let me do it. So he went away, recorded all the Holmes parts, then went away, created a kind of gnarly Moriarty with a desperately evil laugh, and recorded that. So when you put it together, it was like two different people in the room. It was quite remarkable.
I hope you are prepared to suffer humiliation and extreme torture before you die a slow, agonizing death. Morty.
Oh, thank you. I see from the tattoo on your left hand that you have spent some time incarcerated at Her Majesty's pleasure. Did prison agree with you?
I am never going back.
Then don't commit crimes.
I do what I do best. I specialize in criminal enterprise. You do what you do best, trying to stop fellows like me.
You never wanted a normal type life?
What on earth is that? Ballroom dancing and card games?
That's part of it.
That's nice. Is that your life?
No. Every moment I can spare, I devote to chasing criminals like you.
A man told me once, you want to make moves? Don't keep anything in your life you're not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds flat, if you feel the heat around the corner.
I don't know how to do anything else.
Neither do I.
And
I don't much want to. Neither do I. We're sitting here like a couple of regular fellows. You do what you do, I do what I do. What happens if I am there and I must choose to put you away? If it's between you and some poor unfortunate whose wife you're going to make into a widow, Moriarty brother, you are going down. There's a flip side to that coin. What if you got me boxed in and I have to put you down? Because no matter what, you will not get in my way. I won't hesitate, not for one second. Shall I pour?
In order to keep it a secret that Holmes was in disguise sometimes, we'd invent pseudonyms or non-de-plumes for Jeff, one of which was an anagram of his name, Lee J. Sniff. And he liked that so much that he went around introducing himself to Lee J. Sniff, and even, I think, named a piece he'd written at Drum Circle called something like The Trials of Lee J. Sniff or something.
You guys gotta see this. Skipper?
What's the problem?
I don't know what happened, but it must have been something huge.
What the hell are you talking about, Bob?
Huge plumes of smoke coming from, well, everywhere. It's all over the freaking planet.
Shut your damn mouth.
Or what, old man? What? What are you gonna do?
I'll ram my fist right down your throat, boy. Like I said in the ship. We have a job to do, and we're going to do it.
Take a look around you, Captain. This is the future. There are no more tomorrows.
I always thought I'd meet him. We created a show together called Jeff Niles Presents, a kind of tribute to Boris Karloff's Thriller and those kind of things, where he'd introduce all sorts of spooky or unusual tales. And one of the things we always planned to do was to film him. As an introduction, sat in a big armchair next to a roaring fire with two goth, beautiful women on either arm, drinking a brandy and introducing in a kind of Vincent Price melodramatic way the show. So over all the years I'd known him, it was always like, oh yeah, I'll get to Illinois one day and we'll film it. Sadly, that's never going to happen. Although one day, I still dream that we get an animated version of that scene. So if any animators out there are listening in, maybe you can animate Jeff in a big armchair, wishing us all a happy and spooky time.
One should always look for a possible alternative and provide against it. It is a first rule of criminal investigation.
Holmes, I thought you said that the first rule of criminal investigation is that whenever you have excluded the impossible, whatever remains must be the truth.
Well, then, that is the second rule.
Not so, Holmes. According to you, the second rule of criminal investigation is when you follow two separate chains of thought, you will find some points of intersection which should approximate the truth.
The third rule, then.
Can't be, Holmes. You made it quite clear that the third rule is circumstantial evidence is a very tricky thing. It may seem to point very straight to one thing, but if you shift your own point of view a little, you may find it pointing in an equally uncompromising manner to something entirely
different. Mr. Holmes and Dr.
Watson.
Of course.
He was always full of ideas. He wanted to do so much. He was doing so much. I don't know anybody who did as much as he did. And it sort of put me to shame, really. I'm rather embarrassed at the paltry efforts I create in comparison to the hundreds of things he would do every week. It was a kind of exhausting to keep up with what he was doing. But he just had an appetite to do much, to live, to create. And that was inspiring. And a sort of, there were many a times where he'd say, where's the script, Vinster? And I'd say, Jeff, I went out for a walk. And don't go out for a walk, Finster, finish the script. So I'd finish the script. That was what Jeff did. He inspired you.
Yes, he did. Jeff inspired you. He inspired all of us, I think. He certainly inspired me and continues to do so. I want to thank everyone who sent in recordings and words for Jeff and for this tribute on his behalf, and spoke so well on his behalf. I really appreciate that and the contributions. Jeff will not be forgotten. Jeff will always be remembered. Certainly we will do everything we can to keep his memory alive, because he was a dear friend. And we will miss you, Jeff. And we will miss your many, many characters, your many performances. I personally will miss your friendship, your encouragement, your enthusiasm, and your positivity. I know you'll keep listening from wherever you are. And I know you'll keep cheering us on. And we appreciate that. We love you, Jeff. And we will never, ever forget you. And as we close this tribute to Jeff Niles, our dear departed friend, I wanted to leave you with a bit of music that makes me think of him and what I think he would probably say now. This is "Even Though I'm Gone" by Chester C.
Time is a funny thing. I think that everything, it's still happening, just in a different place. Things don't disappear just 'cause the view changed. So think of when we both had us alive, and I promise you that we're still laughing right now. We're still laughing right now. So trust me when I say that I'm at peace. Every little flame goes out eventually. Though I'm already gone, I'm still the words I left behind. I'm still a memory to make you smile, and those will be there for a while. Though I'm already gone, when you look up to the sky, just find a star that's shining bright, and know I'm right there by your side. I'm still with you, even though I'm gone. That I could right my many wrongs, so quick to turn away, always waited too long. I'm sorry to the ones that I let down. I was never perfect, so I hope it ended where I helped more than I hurt. I know I hurt. Trust me when I say that I'm at peace. Every little flame goes out eventually. Though I'm already gone, I'm still the words I left behind. I'm still a memory to make you smile, and those will be there for a while. Though I'm already gone, when you look up to the sky, just find a star that's shining bright, and know I'm right there by your side. I'm still with you, even though I'm gone. it's not easy letting go. So if you need me, you can find me in these notes. I'm still with you. I'm always with you. Though I'm already gone, I'm still the words I left behind. I'm still a memory to make you smile. Those will be there for a while. Though I'm already gone, when you look up to the sky, just find a star that's shining bright. And know I'm right there by your side. I'm still with you, even though I'm gone. So if you ever need me, just play this song.
The other music heard in this program was provided by Kevin MacLeod.
This program is copyright 2020 and is brought to you by Dream Realm Enterprises, soaring into new realms.